Some of you had forgotten Brother Joy preaching with us. After this morning service, you were reminded really quick. He loves for you to be involved. He wants you to be participating. If you say amen, every one of you said amen throughout the whole message, he would be, he'd preach himself to death probably. He loves that. So you be engaged and listen and let God speak to your heart. And do what the Lord would have us do in this service tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Maybe this will be the last opportunity we ever have to really make a decision about our Christian life. And I'd like to end that well, wouldn't you?
Amen.
And so we only have this moment. We're not promising any other moment. And so let's let the Lord have his way. Amen? Come on, Brother Joy.
Thank you, Brother. Bless you. All right, good evening. Good evening. If you will, take your Bibles and go me to Luke chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15 tonight. And excited about being here and being back. And thank you for coming back. And thank you for making it out tonight. And I'm looking forward to our time together here in the Word of God in just a little bit. And I want to thank y'all too for allowing me to come back. And it means the world to me. And I've been looking forward to it for some time now and praying for months as we get together here and participate in what the Lord's trying to do in our life. And one of the things I know is this, and I appreciate Brother Tommy saying that and pointing it out, but God knew that we would all be here tonight before we were ever even born. Think about that. Before we were ever even born, man. And it's hard to get your mind around that and how simply that is true, but it is.
Yes.
And I believe that God also wants to do something tonight to help us here this evening. And this is something that I have, a passage that I have been in, and one day I was talking with a man in our church, and he was talking about this passage, and we were going through it, and we've had some things recently in our church, and folks have heartache. How many of you learned this, that everybody is going to have to go through some things in your life.
Yeah.
And then you're going to have to go through some things. Yeah. And you know, and the easiest thing to do is when we go through things is to point fingers and you know, blame. But the reality is God lets us go through everything that we go through.
Amen.
And we're going to look at that tonight a little bit. Okay. So let's go to Luke chapter 15. If you can, will you stand with me out of respect for God's word if you're able to tonight? And if not, you hang tight. We'll be right back there. Luke chapter number 15, and thank you for coming. You glad you're here? Will you say amen?
Amen.
Let's look in verse 1. Now, pay attention to who he's writing to. Verse 1 and 2, he says this. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Now, the Pharisees and scribes are the ones that are complaining about who Jesus is talking to. And I think it's important to remember that. They always represent the religious people with no God. Don't miss this. They know a lot about God, but they don't know God. They know everything. You ever been around anybody that knows everything?
Yeah.
Listen, they don't know anything. Amen. And remember that, okay? But he's talking to these people because he's ministering to people that are going through things in their life, that are really dealing with things. And then he gets into this parable. Now look in verse number 3. This is the topic here. I want to look in verse 3, and it says this. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the where?
Wilderness.
And go after that which was lost until he find it. And then the Bible says, and when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And he said, and I say unto you likewise, that joy in heaven shall over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now tonight I want to go back to verse 4 and I want to point this out. If you underline things in your Bible, but I want to talk to you about this subject. Look at verse 4. He says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth leave the 99 in the where?
Wilderness.
And tonight for the next few moments, I want to talk about this simple idea. Surviving the wilderness. Will you pray with me? Now Father, help us tonight. And Lord, sometimes in our lives, we look around and we ask ourselves, what happened? How did this take place?
Yes, Lord.
What did I do? Why? And God, tonight I pray that you can give us the picture that you see. And not the one, Lord, that we are emotionally prone to see.
Yes, Lord, please.
So God, tonight, in the next few moments, will you make this simple to our hearts? Thank you for Faith Church here, Lord.
Yes,
thank you for Brother Tommy and Miss Brenda and their family.
Yes, amen.
Lord, I pray now you help us.
Yes, Jesus, please.
Help their church, Lord.
Yes.
Do what only you can in and around them. And Jesus, we ask this in your name. And all God's people say it.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you. May be seated. A couple years ago, there was a man and woman that got saved in our church, and they were both in their 40s, and their kids had grown up and had moved out of their house, and they were coming back and forth, and all they started having their own children. Well, one of their daughters is 26, 27 years old, something like that, and And they began to immediately try to win their children to Christ and was trying to the best they could do to bring them to the Lord and say, hey, you need the Lord. We've been saved. Come to a church. And so every now and then the kids would come to church with them. Well, one day on a Monday evening, there was a knock on their door, and it was their 28-year-old daughter said, I need you to watch my boys for a little bit. And the boys were 4 years old and 2 years old and said, I'll be back. And she dropped them off and left and went out and went to a party. And 3 days later, they still had not seen their daughter. And that night, they had come to church, and when they were there at prayer meeting, after prayer meeting, they were leaving, and then after they left, they called, they got a phone call that their daughter had been high and under the influence of drugs and ran out of the road and hit a tree with her car and split her car. They announced her dead at the scene, and then later that she wasn't dead and she was in a coma. She was at the hospital, and then after a couple weeks went by and a couple months, she would wake up, and then they would say she would be brain dead. She's going to be paralyzed. And listen, for the last 2 years, that mom and dad have not only raised their grandchildren, but they have been taking care of their adult daughter in a body wheelchair because she's paralyzed. And the truth of the matter is tonight, when you think about that story, here is the reality that we must face. Their lives and their grandkids' lives have been placed in an undesirable situation by the choice of somebody else.
Right.
Now tonight, when you think about that in the Bible and in history, and especially today, there are Christians who end up in undesirable situations because the choice of someone else. But I want you to understand tonight that if that is you or that has been you, that you can still survive if you let Jesus guide you in the middle of this thing tonight.
Amen.
You see, tonight the reality is kids don't ask to be abandoned by their parents. But the truth of the matter is, even if that happened tonight, Jesus can still help those kids.
Amen.
Spouses don't ask for their spouse to abandon them and go commit adultery and depart from their family. But when it happens, my friend, Jesus can still help that person.
Yeah.
The innocent people do not ask to be taken advantage of by the evil people. But when it happens, understand this. Even though God allows it to take place, I am thankful tonight He does not abandon His children while we are in the wilderness.
Amen.
Can I get a witness tonight? The point is, just because you end up in the wilderness tonight does not mean that your life is over.
Amen.
Many people, listen, I've seen this, and I don't mean this wrong, but some of you know, y'all realize that, right? Amen. Hey, I want you to think about it.
Yeah.
But you got to realize this truth. And I know you've seen it. Sometimes things will happen to people in their life, and they'll be wrong.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. And they'll be like, oh, my life is over. No, it's not over. Just because something happened, just because something took place, just because a leaf turned the wrong way or a door was closed that you thought would always be open, just because that happens in our life does not mean that our life is over.
Amen.
But it does mean this. That if I'm going to survive that situation, I've got to have Jesus helping me in my life.
Yes, amen.
Now in our text tonight, the Bible points out here that there were 99 sheep that were left in the wilderness because of the actions of one other sheep. Now this word here is amazing because it's a picture of 100 sheep that were going throughout their life. One of the sheep loses focus. He wanders off the correct path and he causes the other 99 to be left in the wilderness while the shepherd has to go and look for that sheep. And tonight, these 99 sheep, they never expected to be left in the wilderness, but that's what happened to them. And hey, they had to live with it.
Yeah.
Don't miss this. That is what happened to them. They had to live with it. And I'm telling you, my friend, tonight, that situation can be played over and over again. And maybe tonight you're sitting right here in your life, and God has already put something in your mind, something you're dealing with, something that has happened in your life, and you're sitting in a wilderness tonight. And hey, listen, my friend, tonight, your life is not over, but God says you can survive, but you're going to have to see it from His perspective.
Yes.
Because if you don't,
that's good, preacher. Amen.
It'll kill you.
Yeah.
It'll kill you. Listen,
yeah.
It will kill you if you don't see it God's way.
Right.
And you say, Brother Joy, what way is that? I want to give you a couple thoughts tonight, and then I want to bring this thing to a closure. And I wish tonight I could tell you that I'm preaching this for you, but I'm going to tell you sometimes
yeah.
you just need to preach a sermon that you need to hear.
Amen, brother. Come on.
And I'm going to tell you why. Been able to see this happen. Well, you'll know more at the end of the service, but I'm going to tell you, God is faithful to His
people.
Yes, He is.
What do you need to know? Number one, brother, here it is. First of all, you are not responsible for somebody else's actions.
Right.
I want you to go to verse 4. I want you to look at it with me very carefully again. And I want you to look what Jesus said. He said, what man of you having 100 sheep? Now watch this. If he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which was lost until he find it.
Yeah.
You see, the word lost here gives the idea that there was a sheep that took his focus off of the herd. He began to disregard the voice of his shepherd, and he wandered off into his own path that he never should have went down. You see, these other 99 sheep were not responsible for the actions of that one. The shepherd was not responsible for the actions of that one sheep. He chose his own path, and he was responsible for his own actions and the path that he chose. Now, many times tonight inside of the church, when someone is left in the wilderness, I don't know how, and I don't know why, but my friend, for some reason, the innocent party always ends up feeling guilty. And tonight, you need to realize that this Bible teaches tonight, you are not responsible for somebody else's actions. Yes, they may have did something you told them not to do. Yes, you may have wished they didn't do it. You may have prayed they didn't do it, but hey, they did it tonight. You didn't do it. They did it. You didn't make that choice. They made that choice. And you don't need to let your emotions tear you up in your mind, because you are not responsible for somebody else's actions.
Amen.
Tonight, as a parent, you weren't a perfect parent. But here's the question I got. Who had perfect parents?
Amen.
Oh, Brother Joy, Jesus did. Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on. I know Jesus' Heavenly Father was perfect. But if you just look at the Bible, His mother was wrong in at least one instance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you say, well, Brother Joy, my kids, listen. If you raise your kids to know truth and you exemplify that before them, that means when you were not perfect, you publicly to them, you told them you were wrong. You didn't hide your pride. You said that you made a mistake. You may not have been a perfect parent, but you did not make your child do something you taught them not to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now listen. People are volitional. They make their own decisions.
Yes, true.
Say, Brother Joy, I wasn't a perfect spouse. You may not have been. But you didn't cause your spouse to start an online relationship.
Right.
You didn't do that. You didn't do that. And we have people sitting in the church who are being eaten alive because of guilt that is unwarranted in their life.
Right.
Just last week. Matter of fact, Friday before I left, a man in our church is getting right with the Lord. Man, God has put his life back together, and he's standing on his own two feet spiritually again. He's back to living for God,
praise
faithful
Lord
in everything.
Amen.
Man, his wife has went back to some drugs.
Mm.
And he called me Friday crying, upset. I'll say this word, women may know what I mean, but like a drama mess, a drama queen. He was messed up.
Mm.
And I stopped him. I said, Lee, what's wrong with you? And he said, she says it's my fault. That is because of the way I am that she's having to go back to drugs. I said, Lee, listen to me. You are not making her go buy drugs.
Amen.
She's doing that on her own.
Right.
And y'all, please tonight, you may be in the middle of something in your life and in your mind. It may be something that happened in your past. But you've got to nail this down.
Yeah.
You are not responsible.
Amen.
For somebody else's actions.
Amen.
Amen.
Number one.
Mm.
You're not responsible for others' actions. Does that make sense? Can
yes,
I get an amen?
Amen?
Number two. Now here's the tricky part. Here's the hard part. Here's the what part?
Yeah. Hard part.
Here it goes. Stay with me.
Yeah. Come on, preach.
This is where you decide whether or not you're going to walk with God through things like this or not.
Right.
Here to go. God knows where you are.
Yes, He does.
He knows where you are. I want you to look back with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 5 and 6. And the Bible says this. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh, where?
Home.
Home. He calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost.
Mm.
You see, the Bible says that after he found the lost sheep, he brought them all back home and got them all back together. Why? Because the shepherd may have allowed the 99 to be in the wilderness for a time, but he never forgot that they were there, and he eventually came back and brought them home to them, and he was still involved in their life. When you and I are in the middle of a wilderness, it is easy to think that God has forgotten about us. Is it easy to think because of the pain and suffering that we are going through that God has taken His eye off of His children? But the truth of the matter is, y'all, that it doesn't matter what has happened in your life. It doesn't matter what you're facing in your life. It doesn't matter how it came to pass. God knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you're dealing with. He knows exactly what's going on in your mind. And you've got to nail it down that God is not off hiding somewhere in the bushes watching you going through a hard time. My friend, He knows you, He sees you, and He's got His eyes upon Amen. You as His child. Amen. You think about this, what the Bible teaches, it illustrates, but I want you to watch this.
That's good preaching.
You think about Joseph of the Old Testament. You say, Brother Joy, he was a punk. Yes, he was a punk. They could have beat him up without selling him as a slave.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Preachers ain't supposed to talk like that. Well, this is the new America. Amen. Here's the reality. I know Joseph was a punk. I know he rubbed it in his brother's faces, but that is no right for them to go and sell him as a slave.
Amen.
But I want you to think about this. Joseph didn't let it destroy his life.
Mm. Amen.
And then after he was sold as a slave, remember what happened? He ends up going to prison.
That's right.
For something, for a lie. Something he did not do.
Right.
Boy, if we went to prison.
Right.
I'm finna be on CNN. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. I'm making my way. He didn't.
Mm-mm.
I want you to think about this. Y'all think about this. Yes, it took some years. I know it was like 20 years down the road, but get this. God put an entire nation in captivity.
Right? Yes, He did.
To bless Amen. One man.
It sure did.
Amen.
Right. Don't you let that soak in. He allowed the part of the world to go through famine.
Yeah.
To bless one boy that was left in the wilderness.
Amen.
You know why? This is why. Because God never takes His eyes off of His children.
Amen.
Amen.
Now tonight, you say, Brother Joy, that sounds good. That's good preaching. But what does that mean to me?
Mm.
And here it goes. I told y'all, boy, I love the Bible.
Amen.
But I don't like it when it cuts me.
Mm. Amen.
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 Here's what you got to realize. I believe the Bible teaches that everything that happens in our life is number one, so in the end, God can be glorified.
Amen.
But number two, His goodness can be done on this earth.
Amen.
I want you to go with me to verse number six again.
Amen.
I want you to look what happens here. I'm sorry, verse six. The Bible says, and when he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me. For I have found my sheep, which was what?
Lost.
There's key, verse 7. And I say unto you that likewise shall joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than 99 just persons which need no repentance.
Mm.
And tonight, if you're in the middle of wilderness, I want you to think about this. You are not responsible for what somebody else has done.
That's right.
You may be hurting from it,
mm-hmm.
but you're not responsible.
Amen.
I don't miss this. Number two, you got to understand that God knows exactly what's going on in your life and what He's doing.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
And I say this as kind as I can. You have to keep a tender heart.
Amen.
You say, what do you mean, Roger? Here's what I mean. If you allow it to get to you, let me say that slowly. If you allow it to get to you, you'll become bitter.
Yeah.
Amen.
You'll become hardened.
Yeah.
Right.
And you, don't miss this, will eliminate yourself from rejoicing in me.
Yes, amen.
Now, I want you to think about this. The Bible says that he went and got that lost sheep and brought it back home, and then brought everybody together and said, let's rejoice. Now, I want to tell you something. I would have loved to have been in that herd of 99 that spent some days in the wilderness.
Amen.
Laugh at me if you want to, but I'll tell you, my friend, I'm with Brother Tommy. Wouldn't you like to got him over in the corner of the corral? Kicked him to death, bunch him and kick him in the head. Amen. Imagine being those sheep.
Yeah.
You did this to us. But that's not the teaching of the text.
Amen.
They rejoiced. Why? Because they understood that while they never left the path, God's love was just as strong for the ones that did leave the path as for those that stayed.
That's so good. Amen.
And they rejoiced in it.
Yes.
And you say, Rejoice, how does this apply to me tonight? You know that couple I told you about? Now I want to tell you, if that had been me, number one, I sure am glad tonight that I'm not God.
Amen.
Because I'm telling you, I'd have messed up what he's been doing for thousands of years.
Yeah, yeah.
Lord, don't ever. Sometimes I think I'm God in my own pride, but I'm telling you, I'm not. Yeah. Somebody say amen.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
Amen. That's all right.
That couple I was telling you about, I want you to put yourself in their shoes.
Mm-hmm.
How would you react? You deserve it.
Mm.
You deserve to be handicapped.
Mm.
Abandoned your kids. Left them. For 3 days.
Mm.
So you could go do drugs with your buddy. You deserve what you got. That'd have been me.
Mm.
You know what they did? Now, this is crazy. This family actually just bought a house in Eufaula and moved to Eufaula. But until they did, the last 2 years, know what they've done? They've driven 1 hour and 10 minutes every week to come to church.
Mm.
Not just come, but they bring Christy in that body wheelchair every service they come to.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
They bring her down on the front row and listen, they got her this, but they went and got her somehow this Bible, because now that she's continued to get, she can think, she can respond, she's cognitively there. From here down, she's not doing well. Her arms, she's doing good. Her legs are moving. But there's a lot going on with her. They got her this big Bible that you read like with your eyes. It's amazing, but it's also interesting how there's a device that she can look at and it'll follow her eyes. And she follows along. She sets up in church. They got that wheelchair. It's 24 inches. I'm telling you, it's sitting over there. They got a Bible and they're ready for church. But I'm telling you, when you come in, she's sitting over there. She's ready. She's ready to roll.
Amen.
And for 2 years, two years, they brought her in that wheelchair, getting her out of the car, in the wheelchair, taking her to the restroom, in the service, back to the car, back home, load back up. Not just them and her, the two babies too.
Yeah. Amen.
For 2 years. About a month ago on Sunday night, after the service, she was all tore up. God had got all over her. And I'm talking about she was tore up. Boo hoo. And my wife went over there and prayed and said, Joy, you need to talk to her after service. So after service, we got to the side. And I began to talk to her about Christy. What's going on? Where you? This and this. One thing led to another. We ended up leading her to the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
A Sunday night after church. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Now get this. 2 weeks ago on Wednesday night after prayer meeting, She has her left arm that she can move. And no kidding, when in our church services now, the last couple of weeks has become a funny thing in our church. When other people say amen, she goes. Because
yeah.
She can't say amen.
Yeah. Amen.
But on Wednesday night 2 weeks ago, she was waving to me after I got done with closing up the prayer meeting. Mm. She has communicated, I want to be baptized.
Amen.
And last Sunday is amazing. Last Sunday we had this portable hot tub that we brought up on stage. And at the end of the service, one of our men got in the tub and held her. We baptized her on stage in that hot tub because we couldn't get her up the steps and around the way. And listen, it's one of the most glorious times in our church.
Amen.
But I want to say this. You want to know why? Because she had a dad and a mama that she put in the wilderness. They didn't get bitter.
That's right. That's so key.
They knew it wasn't because of them.
Yeah.
They trusted God.
Yes.
And now that girl that put them in the wilderness has become one of the greatest testimonies of the mercy of God that I've ever seen in my life.
Praise God.
You say, Reggie, how? That's who God is.
Yes.
Tonight, I don't mean this wrong. I know you're hurting. But the people that put you in the wilderness, that's who God's after.
Yes. That's good, preacher. Amen.
You gotta keep a tender heart.
Yeah.
You gotta keep a tender heart.
Amen.
Don't let it eat you alive.
Mm.
Will you pray with me tonight? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Father, tonight, I do not know what our brothers and sisters here at Faith Chapel are going through, but I know that you do. And Lord, tonight, somehow, some way, if there's a need in our hearts, that you reveal it. Lord, that you remind us that your perspective is so different than ours. And it don't matter how dark the wilderness is. It doesn't matter how lonely we feel. You are on us. Your eyes are upon us. And God, you've got a greater purpose. And Lord, tonight I pray that you have your will and way in our hearts and our lives.
Please.
Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Miss Brenda's going to real quietly. She's just going to begin to play. But maybe tonight in your heart, the Lord has spoken to you about something in your life, a need, some way. Now I want to ask you tonight, will you let Him help you? Will you let Him give you His understanding of it, His vision of it? Will you ask Him, Lord, to help me to care like you care? Maybe tonight you're struggling with bitterness and you need to say, Lord, help me. Help me, God. I don't want to get bitter because I know that you've got a part of rejoicing in the end. I don't want to miss it. Say, Rejoice tonight. I want you to pray for me specifically about something God has spoken to me about tonight. Will you pray for me? Can you slip your hand just real quietly? Slip your hand with mine. I want to pray for you tonight. Pray for me tonight, preacher. Watch this. I'm going to pray and he's going to sing. When he's done singing tonight, you need to come pray in your life. Something that the Lord is talking to you about tonight. Will you respond to His Spirit in your life? Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for helping us, Jesus. Now God, draw us. Draw us to your feet. Depending on you. Trusting in you. We pray in your name, Jesus. Would you stand to your feet with me? All across the building. As our brother sings, you need to come pray. You come pray tonight as he sings.
Oh,
Lord, why am I in the wilderness? It's not my fault. I hope this message comes ringing back strongly to your heart. Amen?
Amen.
I appreciate that word. That's excellent. That's very helpful.
Amen.
And I appreciate you minding the Lord, Brother Joey. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's be dismissed in prayer. We will have a meal here Wednesday at 6. That'll be the last service that Joey's with us. And so but we'll have a meal here Wednesday at 6 if y'all don't plan on being. 5:30? Okay. Well, it changed to 5:30. So be at 5:30 on Wednesday. So plan on being here with us. And again, reach out to our church family and your family and friends. And let's do our best to get them here tomorrow night. Pray for the service at 7, okay?
Yes.
All right, let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. So Tom, pray for us.
Heavenly Father, we were all so glad to be here tonight, Lord. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word that was preached.
Yes, God.
Heavenly Father, watch over us and protect us, Lord.
Yes, Lord, please.
I was thinking, Lord, that there's a lot of things that I hear and I read. But one thing that I think is so good and so wonderful is you never hear that the boy went to church and he got shot and died.
Mm.
So, Lord, I just ask that you open your door like you so happily do and you allow us to come in to be with you. Thank you so much. But I thank you for your blessed gift, your precious Son, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
In His name we do pray, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Take the meal.